This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to talk about how that God wants to reach your heart and he wants to touch your heart. That is the aim of his word. And I hope that our study this morning will be beneficial and helpful to all. Do you know that the heart of man, and we're talking about the spiritual heart, the mind, the thinking, called the heart in the Bible, it has chambers, if you will. It has four different sections, just like your physical heart has four chambers. You may recall in science or health classes in school, a study of the human heart and the four chambers of the heart. They all have their duty and their function and their job. And the same is true for the Bible heart. The physical heart has the right atrium, the right ventricle, the left atrium, and the left ventricle, the four chambers of the heart. The Bible heart, the mind, the thinking of man, has four chambers, if you will. The intellect, the conscience, the emotions, and the will. And just like God made the physical heart to pump blood in and out of the heart to give life to the physical body, so God gave us a mind, which is called a heart. And it has its chambers that are working, if you will, doing their job to bring about and to circulate, just like the physical heart circulates blood, the spiritual heart of mankind is to circulate the Word of God and to have a function and a duty and a role and an aim, and that is to bring spiritual life to mankind. Let's talk a little bit this morning about the Bible heart. The blood comes into the heart through the right atrium and goes into the right ventricle, blood that does not have oxygen in it. And then it is pumped back out to the lungs, where it receives its oxygen, and from there it is coming back through the veins into the heart again, now with oxygen, through the left atrium, into the left ventricle, and then pumped out through the aorta, blood that now has oxygen in it from the lungs, and it's pumped out through the aorta to all over the body. In the right atrium and right ventricle, out to the lungs, back in through the left atrium and left ventricle, and back out through the aorta to the body. Each of these chambers has a function and a duty, and it brings physical life. And the four chambers of the Bible heart, the intellect, the conscience, the emotions, and the will, all have their respective duties, and they all relate to the Word of God, and we want to talk about that this morning. God wants to get into your heart. God wants to touch your heart. He wants to lay something on your heart. We hear these expressions, and those are not necessarily bad expressions. God is aiming at your heart. And the whole aim of Bible preaching, Bible teaching and teaching classes, Bible reading, Bible hearing, it all has the same aim, and that is to get to your heart and to these four chambers, if you will, these four areas God is trying to reach in your life. Let's look at that. We'll look at some Bible examples. We will talk about what the particular function or aim is in each of these four areas, and then I want to talk about some practical steps that you can take to make sure that God's word is getting into your heart the way it should. Let's take the first chamber, if you will, of the Bible heart, and that is the intellect. God, through his word, is trying to educate your intellect. You have a part of your heart that needs to be educated. You have an intellect. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, for example, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we hear, that gives us an opportunity to understand. Jesus and others connected hearing with understanding, Matthew 15:10. Matthew 24:15, sometimes Jesus would say, read and understand, or hear and understand, or read and understand. Ephesians 3:4 is another one. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 30, Philip was going along the way and he's going to preach to the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Ethiopian eunuch had been reading from Isaiah 53 and he says, how can I understand this? And Philip asked him, do you understand this? The eunuch said, how can I unless someone guide me? And so understanding is to come from reading. And then later, Philip in the preaching and teaching of the word of God. So hearing and understanding, reading and understanding, even back in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 3 and verse 8, reading is tied to understanding. So there's an intellect part of the heart. In Berea, there were those who were searching the scriptures, Acts 17, verse 11, and then they believed, verse 12. Well, what's the connection? Well, we have a side of us in our heart, our Bible heart, that is the intellect. This is the place where we think and reason and analyze and understand and believe. And the Word of God is actually written in such a way as to touch that particular part of our heart so that we can know. We can know truth. We can have knowledge of facts and truth. We can understand. We can know what is right information and wrong information. We can be persuaded. We can be convinced of something. And so we have a part of us that deals with the intellect. We call it the smarts, if you will. There is a part of us that needs to reason and think and analyze. God made us that way. And the Word of God actually addresses that kind of thing. God reveals His Word in such a way that we begin to think about it and reason about it. And we check this over here that is said in the Bible, and we check it with what's over here in the Bible, and we put things together, and 2 and 2 equals 4, and we analyze and we think and we understand. And so this is the first Bible chamber, if you will, that I want to talk about, and that is our intellect. Intellect is good. Being smart and educated and having an intellect is good. All of us have a capacity for that. God made us that way. That's not just found in some people. Some people are intellectual and some people aren't. Everybody's intellectual. We all have that intellect. The ability to do that. And God addresses that particular area of our life with His Word. So, what do we need to do in order to educate the intellect? We need to be reading the Word of God. We need to be hearing the Word of God. And as we read it and as we hear it, we're going to come across facts. Facts, historical facts, other kinds of facts. We're going to come across doctrines and teachings about the plan of salvation and the church and many other kinds of things. We're going to read stories or narratives about things that actually happened. We're going to read testimony that individuals give, Jesus and the apostles and others. We're going to be given evidence. When we read these things, God is trying to touch our intellect. And so, we read these things, and we study them, and we think about them. We examine them carefully. That's what the Bereans did in Acts 17:11. They searched or examined the scriptures. They heard what Paul was preaching. They compared that with those Old Testament scriptures to see if what he was saying was so or true. Well, how could they do that? It was their intellect that was allowing them to do that. And so, if we will read and hear and listen for these things, we will look above and below. We call it context. Sometimes we talk about historical background studies, or we might do word studies. What does the Hebrew word mean in the Old Testament or the Greek word of the New Testament? Why are we doing all of that? We are working with our intellect. We are satisfying our intellect. And God is trying to reach that part of our Bible heart. God wants to lay something on your heart. He wants to touch your heart. These are common expressions. That's actually true, because the Word of God is meant to do that very thing. And number one, it's meant to educate your intellect. So the more we go to school, from kindergarten on up through high school and secondary education, the more you go to school, the more you're educated, right? The more we hear and read and study the Word of God, the more we are educating our intellect. But then God wants to do something with another chamber of your heart. He wants to prick your conscience. The conscience is a little bit different. The intellect deals with education and facts and knowledge. The conscience deals with what we're going to do with that information and facts and our knowledge. When Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, Luke records that the audience was pricked in their heart, was pricked in their heart. What does that mean? Well, that's the part of their heart that is the conscience, where they have a feeling that is good or bad. A feeling arises based upon what we've heard or read. That's the conscience. On another occasion, in Acts chapter 19, when Paul was preaching, the text says that they were hardened and disobedient. Acts 19, verses 8 and 9. Some people have a hardened heart. Hebrews 3:13. Some people are past feeling. Ephesians 4:18. They don't feel anything anymore. Our conscience early on, especially when we're young, it is feeling. We feel badly when we do something that's wrong. We feel good when we do something that's right. And you see that in little children. And you can tell that they have guilty feelings or not. But if you're not careful, you can harden yourself. And you don't feel that anymore. God gives you the choice to resist certain feelings and harden yourself against them. And so you don't feel badly anymore. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, we're told about an evil conscience, okay? So God is trying to reach your conscience also. The conscience, if the intellect is what reasons and analyzes and so forth, the conscience is what accuses or excuses us. We say to ourselves, I'm right, or we say to ourselves, I'm wrong. It commends us or condemns us. It approves us or it disapproves us. Our conscience can be honest and facing the facts and reality, or it can be dishonest. It can be soft and pliable, or it can be hardened and unmovable. The conscience, in effect, is what judges us. And sometimes we say, well, I feel troubled about this or that. That's our conscience. It's what makes us change or not change. So we are reading the Word of God. We're hearing the Word of God. We're studying the Word of God. We're either changing, we're acceptable, we're pliable, we're open to change, or we just resist it and say, no, that's not for me. So the second thing that God is trying to do is, with His Word, He's trying to reach that part of our heart that is the conscience. So what do we need to do to allow God's Word to do that? Well, with regard to the intellect, we need to do more reading and hearing and studying. With regard to the conscience, it would be good if we're hearing the Word of God or reading it or teaching it, it would be good if we would ask personal questions of ourselves. How does this apply to me? If we would make personal applications, if we would read something in the Bible or hear something and make it real, deal with real or personal problems in our lives or sins in our lives. In other words, we're not going to read it just simply as some intellectual pursuit. We're going to make it personal. We're going to say, is this me in this Bible passage that I'm reading? We need to read and hear the Word of God and purposely try to produce a feeling that's going to make us to change. You know, sometimes you can ignore your feelings, and this is the idea of being hardened or past feeling. You're not going to deal with it anymore. You just push it to the back of your mind, we say, and we don't deal with it. But we need to purposely deal honestly with feelings, because God's Word is trying to make us feel a certain way. That's why when Peter was preaching, they were pricked in their heart. They felt badly about crucifying Jesus, and they wanted to get out of that sin. God's Word actually reaches that part of us. Sometimes God's Word is shooting and aiming for the intellect. Sometimes God's Word is aiming for the conscience. And we need to let it do that. I need to ask myself, is there a sin that I have committed that I need to get rid of, that I need to change, that I need to be forgiven of? Is there something wrong that I need to make right? That's the conscience. The third area, the third chamber of the heart, if you will, are the emotions. God is trying to stir the emotions. He's trying to educate the intellect, he's trying to prick the conscience, and he's trying to stir the emotions. We're supposed to worship God in spirit and in truth, John chapter 4 and verse 24. When Paul preached to Felix, the text says that he was terrified. Those are emotions. Preaching from God's Word, reading God's Word, teaching God's Word is to stir the emotions, emotions that are going to cause us to make some changes, hopefully. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, and as Paul reasoned of righteousness and self-control and judgment to come, Felix was terrified and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call thee unto me." He didn't make a change right then, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But he was terrified. That's good. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 6 and verse 17 that we obey from the heart that form of teaching that was delivered unto you. You obey from the heart. What does that mean? Well, the intellect is involved and the conscience is involved, and we have emotions. We have emotions, and a part of that is what we just talked about in the conscience. We might be sad that we have sinned. We might be happy that we are being given a plan of salvation in order to be forgiven of sins. We obey from the heart. We love from the heart. 1 Peter 1:22. We love from the heart. And if we have a love for truth and a love for God's Word, that's going to cause us to obey. Emotions like love, loving God and His Word, hate, hating sin, joy, joy over the prospect of being saved, sorrow over violating God's Word, peace. We realize, hey, I can be at peace with God with sin removed. Desire, trust, care, and many other kinds of emotions. In fact, coming together as Christians in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 is to provoke or stir up one another to love and good works. We're to stir up our emotions. Sometimes we don't feel anymore. or not as much as we need to do what we need to do to obey God. So God's word is wanting to cause us to have an appeal to love for God, love for Christ, love for others. God's word hopes that it will appeal to our joy. I can be happy in serving Christ. I can have a hope. That's an emotion. A hope of wanting to go to heaven. And hopefully God's word is appealing us to have a hate for sin. Love and hate, those are opposites. Love for obedience to God, hate for sin. God is trying to stir our emotions. You don't want to be emotionless. You don't want to have a seared or hardened conscience. You don't want to have an uneducated intellect. And if you stop and think about these things, friends, this is really what the devil wants. This is what the world wants. The devil doesn't want your intellect to be educated by the Word of God. He doesn't want your conscience to be pricked by the Word of God. He doesn't want your emotions to be stirred to obey and love God and obey Him. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." So use your intellect, the devil says, for sinful and worldly things. Use your conscience for sinful and worldly things. Use your emotions for sinful and worldly things. But God is trying to reach your heart with His Word on the pages of the New Testament. So just like the physical heart has four chambers that have a function of bringing blood in and pumping blood out to keep the physical life going, so God gives us the Bible heart, our mind. And what a great thing it is. But we've got to allow God's Word to work on it in the way that it's supposed to, so it can give us spiritual life. Now, what else does God try to reach in our heart? Well, there's one last area that is very important. Number four, God is trying to energize the will. The will. It's a little bit different. The will has to do with our thinking that gets us to get up and purpose to do something, and we actually do it. In that same sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching, and he actually quotes Old Testament passages. It's a Bible-based sermon, if you will. There is scripture, there's God's word there. Their hearts were pricked. So they learned some things. Their intellect was educated. Their hearts were pricked. And their emotions were stirred. And Peter says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Save yourselves. There's one more thing in the heart that has to be touched by the Word of God, and that is the will. The will, the desire to get up and do something. You can be educated in your intellect, and you can be pricked in your conscience, and you can be stirred in your emotions like Felix was. He was terrified, but he didn't obey, at least on that occasion. You've got to get up and do something. So Peter said, "Save yourselves." When Ananias was talking to Paul, he said, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Why tarriest thou?" Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, Acts 22:16. You still got to get up and do something. And so God's word is trying to touch that part of your heart as well. We need to be hearers and doers of the word of God. James says in James 1:22 through 25, he's talking to Christians there, but the same is true for someone who needs to become a Christian. You've got to hear and obey. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:16. He that believeth. Well, that's the part of the heart that's going to be educated with the intellect and so forth. but you've got to be baptized. That means you got to get up and do something. And so we've got to hear the Word of God, or we've got to read the Word of God, and then we've got to get up and keep it or obey it. John writes about that in Revelation 1 and verse 3. Reading, hearing, and keeping the Word of God. At the end of the book of Revelation, the Spirit invites all to come. Whosoever will may come. Revelation 22, 17. Whosoever will, will. You've got to have the will. Your will has to be energized. What is the will? Well, it's that part of the heart that determines things, that decides things, that intends that you're going to do something, that purposes, that acts, that obeys. And so it's the part of the heart that motivates. The Word of God appeals to that part of our heart. There are passages of Scripture that talk about rewards. Heaven is ultimately the reward, and hell is ultimately the punishment. Why does God's Word have certain things like that in it? Why does God's Word appeal to rewards or punishments? God is trying to energize the will to get up and obey and go to heaven, not stay where you're at and disobey and go to hell. So there are rewards for obedience. There are punishments for doing nothing or being disobedient. And in Acts chapter 2, after we're told that they were pricked in their heart, Acts 2:37, look at the rest of the verse. They said, "Men and brethren, what must we do? What must we do?" They realized that their intellect being educated was not enough. Their conscience being pricked was not enough. Their emotions being stirred was not enough. They wanted to know what to do. And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins." He continued to encourage them and exhort them, and some 3,000 were baptized on that day. They got up and were baptized. And that's the part where the devil's going to want to keep you just where you're at. Don't be energized in your will. So friends, this morning, God is trying to reach your intellect, your conscience, your emotions, and your will. Please let Him do that. Let Him bring His Word into your life through the intellect, and your conscience will make the judgment that you need to obey. Your emotions will be stirred, and you will get up, and you will act. If we can help you to do that. God gives you a physical heart that is giving you life right now, physical life. He also gives you a spiritual heart that will give you spiritual life, where you can be in a right relationship with Him and be with Him in heaven for all eternity. But you've got to let that spiritual heart act in the right way so that you can be saved. If we can help you to do that, why won't you get with us and let's study so that that can take place? Thank you for being with us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.